The Aldis podcast is brought to you by Aldis International, supplying your expert AI and digital transformation staffing needs across the US and Europe. Today, you are listening to our ServiceNow series, where we interview the best and brightest of the industry to share their story, advice, and views on the exciting world of ServiceNow and digital transformation.
Hello everyone, it is Mark Kelly, Chief Customer Officer and Co-Founder of Aldis. Wherever you are in the world today, I hope you're doing really, really well. And I would like to welcome you to our ServiceNow podcast series. I am very, very happy to welcome a gentleman called Philippe Orvald. He's a manager at Deloitte, and he's going to be sharing some incredible insights today on the podcast. Philippe, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. How are you?
Fine, and thank you for having me here, Mark. It's a great pleasure of joining this podcast. Heard a lot about it, and yeah, happy to be here.
So you're joining us from Germany today, if I'm not mistaken.
This is correct. From Berlin, Germany. Originally from Hamburg, but then I then studied at the Technical University in Berlin and then moved around 10 years ago to Berlin.
I'm regularly over in Berlin. It's a truly dynamic and diverse city. So different than so many other cities in Germany. It's got that real kind of cosmopolitan feel to it.
Yeah, I think this is one of the reasons also why I stayed. A lot of opportunities, a lot of good tech people around here, and it has this kind of mix of corporate world, but also startup world. And so this is also something what I really like. Also pretty unique, looking also to other cities, what is around the world.
So tell us your journey before you joined Deloitte. Mm. Tell us about your journey. How did you come into the world of working in tech and digital transformation and finally within the whole world of ecosystem of ServiceNow?
Yeah, so I studied information management systems and computer science, but on the other side, I also had a passion for public services, government. So I was working for public officials. So it had nothing to do with my university studies. And I had this kind of ambition to work in politics and also to maybe then go into this kind of explore my journey in this kind of area. But then also during my master's, I realized, okay, I want to do a little bit more this combination of e-government. I was working a lot in the open data world, open data governance, and was working for Capgemini also back then and was exploring this. But then I also had the feeling, okay, this is maybe something. Do I really want to stay in this field forever? If I'm now starting here also my job, my career, I will stick to this. And then I was like, hey, no, I will do something else. And there was a recruiting event from Deloitte. And also during that time, they were talking a little bit about ServiceNow. And I had no idea, started off in the company and it was just a surprise. 2 days later, I got a ServiceNow assignment, had to read on Wikipedia, what is it about? There was not a lot of information. And I had really no idea what I was getting into it. I thought like it would be like a 3 to 4 month assignment. But here I am, 7 years later, starting off in my ServiceNow JavaScript developer journey, technical consultant, moving forward into this kind of business architect role. And this is where technology and then also later my touch points with ServiceNow.
And for people that don't necessarily know, it's like Deloitte has one of the biggest ServiceNow teams globally and also done some of the most impressive digital transformation projects across the sphere of ServiceNow.
Yeah, it is. And looking also what our US or North American colleagues have achieved throughout the years and then where we started in Germany. So when I started in Germany 7 years ago, we were, if I'm not mistaken, 13 people. It was a really small, almost nerdy group of IT service management experts and some guys with computer science experience getting together. And now in Germany, we are almost 140 people fully dedicating themselves to ServiceNow in Germany, plus an additional 100 also who are on the sphere of doing ServiceNow project directly, indirectly. So it's a pretty big group. And then also looking what is globally happening, also what type of projects we are delivering with in EMEA, it's just gigantic.
It's huge. So today we were talking about, and for listeners, we've been working in between trying to find the sweet spot to add value to you for our conversations. But today we're going to be talking a little bit about customization and configuration and a little bit of the kind of trade-offs between that kind of view on it and how we can give the best possible value to a customer. And that might necessarily sound like it's an off-the-shelf, but how you can actually make a decision that does it make sense for you to customize or does it make sense to get more bespoke? And tell me a little bit of your thoughts on that, Felipe.
Before I start off between the difference of the customizations and configuration, like this kind of historical view, when you think about it, where we started off when ServiceNow came out in Aspen, and also I started off in, it was Jakarta. Yeah, this was my first release. And it was all about of testing the limits of ServiceNow. Every time there was like a client request, we were like, okay, how can we do this technically? How can we build this widget? Okay, there's another business rule on top. And yeah, let's all the fields out and new fields in and a lot of UI policies, UI action, super flashy and just trying to make the customer happy. It was all about that. And we were not thinking about tomorrow and what will happen next week. It was all about, hey, it's shiny, it looks good. And we have built a lot of stuff. But then of course, after a while, you have this kind of wake up call. With the first upgrade, ServiceNow during that time was just changing so much, and a lot of new functionalities came in where we realized, okay, the things that we have developed, they were great, but sometimes also not maintainable, or also the code was just deprecated after a while. And here and there we had to do bug fixes, very uncomfortable conversation about performance issues also in this kind of sense. And then you came more and more to this realization, hey, is kind of wise, let's stick to out of the box. It will make your life easier. Let's talk about process and where customization really makes sense or where you have a strategic advantage. And maybe also for listeners who are just tuning in and have no idea what the difference between the customizations and configurations, it's the configurations are just using the out of the box functionality ServiceNow has to offer, form configurations, UI policies, UI actions, try not to code or being in this kind of no code, low code area, and then moving forward into this kind of, yeah, what are customization? As soon as you're trying to not use the out of the box functionalities, also having a lot of coded business rule, a lot of coded JavaScript methods, then you are like in this kind of field of the customizations. And then of course, the most bizarre of them all, the Jelly scripts and everything, what is out there to do stuff in the backend on the portal. But yeah, and moving forward, and when you have those kind of discussions, and in the previous year when I came together with the clients, you sometimes feel there are multiple facets to it. There's immaturity in some parts. There's also immaturity, also not knowing the tool, not knowing the processes, not knowing what they want. And they try to drown those things with, okay, we do it with technology. We have no idea right now what is happening, how the process looks like, but let's do a lot of kind of mandatory fields, a lot of loops, here a flow and there something. And I think we have seen it always that this is not flying, and that after, in 6 months you have this realization again, okay, what did we do here right now and how we want to get rid of this? So
yeah, you're left with the technical debt, right? So you're then trying to manage through that. And if anybody's been working within technical debt, you have to maintain it. It's always part of your baggage of your discussion going forward.
Yes.
And the organizations of the future need to be agile. They need to be able to actually embrace this. And you need to be thinking, okay, we want to scale for the future, but we won't want to be dealing with something that legacy that becomes very challenging, because this eats into your innovation budget.
And this is the thing, it goes into your innovation budget. And when you're looking into those commodities like IT service management, what is the strategic advantage of customizing it to a degree where you cannot maintain it? And also when people are leaving, people who have this kind of knowledge and then they are gone and you're like, okay, where's the documentation? What did they do here? We have to do a lot of investigations and spend a lot of money, and it doesn't help at all. And yeah, but and this is then the part of where we have to come in and then have this kind of first discussion on, is it really needed? What is the process looking like? And repeating this kind of mantra of, hey, before you're touching the tool, try first of all that we have this on a piece of paper to really know what is needed here.
You are listening to the Aldis Podcast. When you're looking to scale your team, or if you are interested in showcasing your company in a future episode, reach out today. Or if you're in the market for a new role, visit our website to view open positions. www.aldis.com.
So if we talk about that, the art of the possible, because we've gone a little bit from the historic customization configuration, but now we've got a different kind of mindset. Customers are expecting more. And we say this a lot, more with less. But we've seen now what's possible. We've seen some customers really take advantage of the ServiceNow suite. We've seen some of the applications from Gen AI. What are you seeing on the ground? What are customers telling you?
They're coming into the meetings and into the conversation with the expectation of, A, of course, staying close to out of the box, but sometimes they do not know what this means. And then on the other side, they have now, with the new emerging technologies like Gen AI, this expectation, okay, how we can bring this together. And when it comes to the expectations, also for my part, I try to come with a lot of processes, looking into ITIL 4, PRINCE, also certain types or certain methodologies that are coming from TOGAF, navigating them through ServiceNow to set a very good foundation and giving them, hey, if you're doing this right, then you can also enable additional functionalities also from a Gen AI perspective, now assist perspective, when the fields are clear, when the data is in, that everything will run much, much smoother. And this is also something what we have seen before, that people are expecting, of course, from ServiceNow great things, but if the foundation is not there and if everything has not been configured the correct way, they have in the end a very shitty experience. And then they are blaming it on the tool, where it could be totally different, where it could be a totally different experience. This is something on my end where I really try in the first engagements, in the first month, where it's not necessary not to code. Everything, it's on paper and really on the process design, not to mention ServiceNow. It's all about, okay, what do you need? And then we try to understand the deltas. And then when this is set up, looking also, for example, in the space of strategic portfolio management, demand management, when you truly focus on the process and you have the business cases in, you can run Gen AI and now assist on it to structure business cases, also to do certain types of assessments and evaluations. So this is pretty great in the end.
Yeah, you also, I think what you said to me about the Gen AI space is that the legacy modernization. So you've got companies like Rhino AI that will go into an organization, look at some of these legacy technologies such as your COBOL or Lotus Notes, which could have a massive lag time to get things done or improved, upgraded, that they can actually just completely disrupt that and save a significant amount of time, allowing you to utilize code that's more efficient, newer, driving that across. And as these case studies start to come through, companies start to question at the C-suite what's possible, and then a little bit more open to hearing about some of your discussion. And then the budget starts to be maximized, because you don't have to take into these other considerations where the cost things might have gone to. Now you can start to do more customer experience impactful projects, or reimagine internally how your organization is running day to day.
This will be key also for the success, because looking into where IT budgets were a couple of years ago, this will never be the same, and it will just get smaller and smaller, and everything is focused about having a great experience, bringing the business in, having this kind of idea of IT runs as a profit center and not as a cost center anymore. And when somebody would come, hey, I need, I don't know, millions of running the ServiceNow platform, they were like, okay, this is quite heavy. What are the benefits that we're getting out of it? And when people are saying, yeah, you get a good overview about my IT, they're like, why should I now do this? And as you also said, this kind of bringing business topics inside, having a lot of cuts into the application that are currently running on duplicative and out-to-date technology, and having this in ServiceNow is then in the end great. And this is also a different thing where, I guess, coming back to this, I'm always coming back to this historic part, but looking also where IT was always focused on themselves, that, hey, first of all, we have to look on ourselves, that everything is on our end running, that the customers do not care anymore when they are working with technologies. They have this kind of iPhone experience. They want to have an app. They're clicking on something. And what is happening in the background? And that is maybe, if it's outdated or not, they do not care. They just want to have great experiences, great interactions. And this is something also looking into the future of ServiceNow, what can be delivered. But it comes back always to this whole foundation thing, starting off, is it really necessary to customize the everything in the system? And then you're finding yourself with, okay, we cannot deliver on this roadmap because we just activate certain plugins, or stuff is not working, performance is not good. I really hope that this also might or change a mindset helps them to focus on, as you said, the more innovational topics.
Yeah, because as much as anyone that's listened to this podcast, we've got over 150 episodes now, they'll hear about the case studies, they'll hear about the applications. But if your organization isn't on that journey and you're still hesitant to move advanced, and maybe you're still holding on to Excel, but your company is still an established player, what advice would you share with them?
The thing is also right now, looking with what is happening also with this Gen AI revolution, is there's now a time window. And I was always like, when new technologies emerged, there was never this kind of sense of urgency that the time is now, or if you do not act. But now I have, what the things what I've seen in the just in the previous months was so incredible. And also what I mentioned before, how much time it took to get really demand management going. This is like a classical process that always was lacking resources, people. And also it was mostly done in Excel and spreadsheets, and people were scared of bringing into the system. But now what I've seen in the previous month, what is possible, that there's really this kind of strategic advantage. And the time is really now. And I'm pretty sure in a year from now, we are now in 2024. And I would say in 2025, we will see companies who are just much faster on their time to value, because they can really say, okay, those are the things that are strategically relevant for me based on my demand management. I can reduce my time to value because I know what I want to do. They will be just much faster in the adoption. And I think right now what I would tell, and I'm never this type of, I don't know, making panic or something, or being in a meeting and saying, hey, innovate or die. But what I'm seeing right now, and every week it's changing. Hey, if you're not doing it right now, then who knows how your situation will look like in a year from now. And it will not be the same, and it will be much harder for you to adapt.
Getting through those initial steps, feel like you've got a trusted guide to take you on that journey. Talking to some peers, some different organizations, hearing their story, ideally industry specific, always best to do that if you can. And it then, once you go on that journey, you start to see some return on investment.
Yes.
Then the organization starts to light up and they think, okay, this is the art of the possible. We feel like there's benefits here, whether that's customer engagement, productivity,
yes,
asset
yes,
management,
yes.
There's a variety of different stuff to do.
And there's this kind of, and how to do it. And this is, and this is also, let's say, the workshop formats that we are running at Deloitte with those joint application development, those JAT sessions, that when I would also have a customer who have this kind of, let's say, Excel, he has a spreadsheet or something, he wants to automate it, but he's scared of, okay, what might happen? He has maybe already some technology ideas in mind. I'm always like, hey, first step, let's try to bring this into service now. Let's do not think about flows. Let's think about the process, of course, but let's do not think about a lot of what are the configuration. Let's bring this, first of all, into the system. Let people work on it, gather the first feedback. And then based on the feedback, based on the first iteration, then we can start the workshop. Then we really have customer feedback. Then we can do not be scared of, oh, it needs to be the most perfect solution out there. Just bring it in, let the people work with it, get the feedback, and then we can have a good conversation about configuration and maybe potential customizations if they're really needed to bring this live. And so this is then also this kind of, okay, having this pilot phase and then move forward. But this is also what I, in this case, looking to the two questions of, I think it's now or never, and then also just do it and just start and don't be scared at how the feedback maybe would look like just off bringing it in, and then from here on iterate forward.
Wonderful. Felipe, thank you so much for your wise words today. It was lovely having you on the podcast. And I look forward to meeting you hopefully in the future face to face.
Me too.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Aldis Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and any Android podcast of choice. You can also head over to our website, www.aldis.com, to listen to more podcasts, view our open roles, and stay up to date with industry news. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more great episodes coming very soon.